In today's episode, we find out that Mike likes the stairs, JJ keeps blaming ghosts, I'm a fighter, and Samantha introduces us all to the wonderful world of Animorphs. This is Outlast. Talk about the real scariest thing.
Where's the silhouette supposed to be in this, dog?
What silhouette?
Oh, sorry? From the video?
Oh, Mike, did you send that over?
Yeah, it's in front of the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a coat rack.
I thought it was a skeleton.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
And then the reflection of the taillights makes it look like the eye on the head.
Okay. Interesting. Spooky. Interesting.
Ghost robot.
I was going to say, is it Ghost Robot? Isn't that a Ventures Brother thing?
Yes.
You know what? Could have
kill him in the bathroom, or they get a fight in a bathroom at a club.
Yep.
I love Venture Bros.
I do too.
When Brennan was like 3 or 4, he told me this story that there's the skeleton of Dr. Ghost lived in his bedroom. He would put coins in people's mouths. I was like, what? The most terrifying thing. But
how is that not a film? The skeleton of Dr. Ghost.
That's gonna be a comic book series.
Oh, if not, it will be after people hear this.
Oh, I had to make sure I wasn't just keeping random things on television that it was picking up. So.
Skeleton of Dr. Ghost. Oh, so not quite as scary as the skeleton of Dr. Ghost is the subject of today's Fun Sphere Game Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm JJ.
I'm Josh.
You're also Josh? Okay. Mm-hmm. What you got here, Mikey?
What? Chris Walker? Is that his name?
I think you're trying for Miles Upshur. Is the kid?
No, the
Noth?
Okay. Gotcha. Today we are talking about Outlast. It is a 2013 first-person psychological horror video game developed and published by Red Barrels. The game revolves around an investigative journalist, Miles Upshur, who decides to investigate a psychiatric hospital called Mount Massive Asylum. And it just gets crazier from there. Okay.
I was right. It is Chris Walker. He's the dude who goes around ripping people's heads off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Chris Walker around ripping people's heads off.
Chris Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
They should call him Chris Ripper.
They just missed out on that. All right, so this was originally released in 2013/2014 for all the major consoles and PC.
Which consoles?
It's had that would be the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 at the time. It did eventually make it to Switch much later.
I thought of a better intro for my name.
Oh, okay.
I should have said, I'm...
Yes.
There's too much of that in this game. Yeah. I don't care how scared you are.
Yeah, shut the
Nobody
fuck
needs
up.
To hear that much breathing.
Especially when I breathe that loud breath. Naturally. It's like, what's going on?
Somebody just walked up 24 flights of stairs.
Or me up a slope. Can't do hills.
Or I just stood up and I would start breathing like that.
That's not good. You have to breathe. What's that?
Do you guys, did you guys ever hear the Fatty McGee?
Yes.
The Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Sketch.
I like it.
I like the stairs.
Or greatest comedian of our time, Kevin James. He told that joke about why is he sweating and breathing so hard. It's because he peeled an orange.
You know, I for as bad as his career got, I really did like his stand-up special, the Sweat the Small Stuff.
I think that's where the orange joke is from, right? I can't really remember the rest of it, but I remember I did watch it.
He's talking about going through the queue at the bank when you're the only person there.
Oh,
still having to go back through.
All the
he's
lines,
like, I gotta cash a check, but I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah.
He's got some good jokes in that special. All right, sorry, Josh.
No,
back
we're
to
good.
You.
I'm not.
All right,
it
so.
It was on the Switch.
Yes, it was
caught
on the
us
Switch.
Back up.
Okay, thank you. All right, it's the game generally received positive reviews with praise for its atmosphere, horror elements, and overall gameplay. And it sold well, sold 4 million copies, has two sequels, I think two, Outlast 2 and Outlast 3, and a...
There's a third one?
Yeah.
Since when?
I think so. There's
Outlast
something,
Steakhouse.
No, maybe it's... Maybe I'm thinking of there was a DLC sequel for the first game. Maybe that's what was included in. They call it the Outlast Trilogy, so I was like, maybe that's what it was. Also, there is a new game that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a prequel to the first two games. Okay.
Mm.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about this game. So this is my suggestion. Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. It was mine.
It's your suggestion for the Halloween Spooky Times. Okay, so Mike, why did you make this suggestion?
Because we wanted a Halloween game.
Yeah.
And I remember playing through this in 2019 and thinking it was cool. And okay. I wanted to revisit it. And I wish that I did revisit it, but I did not. I started to play it earlier this week, and I kept getting stuck at the freaking, whenever you're in the sewer and you have to turn the machines back on.
Yeah, I remember.
As soon as you flip the one switch, it calls a guy in, and he kept spawning, like, right where the door was. So there, I was like, I'm fucking done with this game.
You did
and
not
I
honest.
Rage quit.
Okay.
No. But I remember getting through the game like so quickly the first time I played it. And I played it on a harder difficulty. It was on the easiest difficulty just so I could like get through it again to jog my memory. And no, it was way harder this time around for some reason.
I was going to say maybe it's like a version. There's been several patches, I'm sure, since the last time you played it. So maybe it's fixed something.
Maybe your
that
heart
was broken
just wasn't
previously.
In it.
Or that, yeah.
I mean, Zelda did come out.
Yeah. I was going to say, Mike, I haven't even put my copy of Zelda in yet. Is it good?
Hell yeah.
Oh, is it the new one, with the magic ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah, where you play as Zelda.
Okay.
The frame rates do suck ass, though.
The titular character.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yes. Tits and boobs. That's what you can always count Samantha for, is that she's going to add that somewhere in.
Well,
any podcast.
I have some, believe it or not.
Okay. All right. So Mike played it for a little while, rage quit. JJ, what about you?
Yeah, I did enjoy it, though, the first time I played through it. And I'll probably give it another shot because it is very engrossing. And I never played Whistleblower. Mm. Or the and I got the second one, but that was another one that I like I started it, but I guess I wasn't in the mood or I was playing something else. So I quickly dropped off.
Yep. Okay.
So
JJ,
I played the
you?
Second one all the way through.
Okay.
And watched a lot of the first one. So I can tie some of the loose ends up on the second one. So, you know, the second one just looks a little better. Kind of the same kind of stuff. I like it that you can run. Because, you know, every other game, Resident Evil 7 VR experience, kind of, I just can't do those games. And these kind of games, just everything's a jump scare. Everything just is just terrifying. And then when you start bringing in, at least for me in the second one, the religious aspect to it to try to, everyone's crazy. I don't know. It was starting to become so unsettling. And so, but I made it through. But that was after watching Paranormal. I don't know if I watched that first or if I played the game first. Anyways, I'm like, just cameras, you know, because I like how they use the camera in this game. Oh, it's practical. You use it for light. This is why you need it. And then I was reading different ways you can play the game that you only have one battery. I'm like, no way. There's no way that someone can play this game this way. But yeah, so I played more too, so I'm probably better talking about two. One, I watched more about it. So.
Gotcha.
It was unrelated, right? Or do they tie it in later?
They bring in the Murkoff lights and stuff. So there is a little bit going on over there to tie it back. So that's the only thing that I missed. I'm like, oh, I'm missing something big here. What's going on? So I had to watch a little bit of one.
Gotcha. I remember I played the second one, too, when it came out. But I remember being like, I think I had a similar to Mike situation. I was playing something else. And I was like, oh, this is creepy and stuff like that. Because I remember, like, isn't one of the first levels, like, you're in a cornfield or running around a cornfield?
Yeah, so your plane crashes or a helicopter crashes, and you're just kind of crawling around. And you got to find Linda, I think your girlfriend's name. And,
Yeah.
Bobby.
So, you're just crawling around, and everyone seems okay at first. And it's like, oh, well, it's just a religious cult. And then they all become crazy. And there's a big civil war between the two different factions. So it's weird. There's a lot going on to take in the second one and then have it trace back to the first one too.
Yep. Okay. Samantha?
I also started this and then fell into something even scarier.
What did you find that was scarier than this?
I bought this game and I got so into it. I played it from 1 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Okay.
And then I played it all Sunday as well. And I thought I was going to call out of work so I could keep playing it.
Mm.
But then I started noticing, like, why can't I get past four hearts with this dude? Why is there only one festival? Because it's early access.
1.6.
Of Fields of Mystria.
Oh. I thought you were talking about Stardew.
It's like Stardew. It's different. So I do intend to go back, but I got so sucked up in that game. Like, insane. Like, it became my whole life until I found out it was early access, and now I'm just waiting for the next update.
Fantastic.
Nobody played Josh's game. Meow.
Technically, nobody played Mike's game.
Nobody played Mike's game. Not even Mike.
Except JJ.
Well, I mean, I played the second one, so you know, I kind of got confused because, like, are we watching both movies and playing both games? Well, I'll start off with the second one because that was free on the PlayStation Network. So I was like, I'll just get through this. I don't need to know anything about the first one. And I was like, ooh, well, I think I need to know a big thing happening in this. So then I watched the second one, but I'm at the first one. But I'm not good at games like that. I can't even get past the first hallway in Resident Evil 7 VR. I can't. Well, I can't. I'll take off the headset every 15 minutes and have someone else put it on and get me through this part. Because you naturally want to look back and see what's chasing after you. And have you guys played the VR version of that game?
No,
I haven't played it at all.
I've played 7 all the way through. I have not played the VR. The VR.
So imagine tank controls for your head. So if you turn your head, if you turn your head, you're going to go in the direction where you're facing. When he's chasing after you with the chainsaw in the very beginning, you want to look back to see how close he is. And of course, you just run into him and die. So,
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So I did play it. I have played this game before. And
Did you beat it?
I have not.
I did at least beat it several years ago.
So as I have said several times on this, I love survival horror games. But I find the inability to fight back.
That's what makes this game so great.
Fully paralyzes me as a player. And I understand I need to sneak around, but shouldn't I be able to defend myself at least? So like I find this game actually very frightening to play. because it goes against all my I guess somewhat instincts I've developed over the years, but like, all right, this boss I can't take out right now, so I gotta run. I'll come back and fight him later. And it's like, it's one of those big things. It's like, you cannot fight these things. They will kill you. There is no fight option in this. I was like, is there really no fight option in this? And it's like, no, there's not.
Hide or run.
It's just not in my nature. I'm a fighter.
There's also a lot of shit that just randomly happens to you throughout the game. That's terrifying. Somebody just grabbed you and injected you with stuff.
Yep. I remember one of the first times I was playing this, because I think I've tried to start it up and replay it a couple of times, is going through the first, like, getting into the asylum is fine. But there's this part where there's a guy in a wheelchair. And the first time you go by him, he doesn't do anything. So it leads you into a false sense of security. And so the second time you're going by him, because you have to backtrack to progress in the level, he grabs you and says some creepy shit. And that just like, I was like, no. And I've said it before. I am the one that is I can be easily frightened with jump scares. I am the one that will throw the popcorn in the movie theater. I will also chuck a controller. and I remember bouncing a controller off of the floor when that happened in that game the first time. And I was like, nope. I also agree with Mike. The second level is kind of bullshit about getting to the generator. I remember being very, very frustrated by that at certain times. But, yeah. But the biggest thing for this series for me is taking my ability to fight back away makes it so much more difficult than any Resident Evil, Silent Hill, anything like that. Like, I get the idea, and I've even played stuff like Clock Tower and stuff like that where you have to run away from, but even then you can usually like use the environment to your advantage to stop them from physically. And so it's like, I'm not super good at stealth games to begin with, so it's like when you factor in can't fight, you got to do this stealthily in a lot of different sections. It kind of like, it's like, this is too difficult for me to play, strangely enough.
I also thought the camera night vision was a really fun gameplay mechanic.
I love all the ideas about this. And this time around, so when I played it and couldn't get through it again, I did end up watching the whole thing. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. I was like, I see why people like this and why I got sequels and DLC and stuff like that. Also, the studio, Red Barrels, it's made up by a lot of different people that worked on games for Ubisoft and EA. They did horror games too. So it had a lot of veterans of the industry. So it was definitely like a refreshing kind of take on the horror series too. Oh, by the way, did you guys see that Silent Hills 2, the remake, is getting rave reviews?
No, I didn't even know it was
like,
up.
There's a lot of it. I think it's either coming out this week or it's about to drop, but it's getting like 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it for sure.
I'm just going to buy it.
I'm right there. I'm like, I guess I
and blame it on a ghost.
What this game?
The ghost made me buy it. So we may have I may have to do that, but I don't know if I should. I'd really need to get through Alan Wake. I really need to get through Alan Wake before I do it. Maybe it'll drop in price too. I tell myself that. Tell myself that. Okay. All right. So the game's kind of short, though. It's only like, I guess, maybe seven, 8 hours total of gameplay.
I thought it was shorter than that.
It could be.
I want to say it's like four or five.
Yeah. And I think this game also was, it didn't come out at like $59.99 or anything like that. I think it was it a digital only release and maybe then got physical?
I thought it was.
I thought so too. I think it. I think that sounds right for some reason, because I remember it like being kind of like a PC Xbox Live exclusive or something like that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to see if that was correct or not. Oh well. All right. So I think this game also kind of inspired other makers of series, because right after this game came out, when Resident Evil 7 was announced, it made a real big pivot to go back to horror. And like JJ brought up, it had a first player VR version. And even, yeah, I guess that's 7 and Resident Evil 8 are both in first person. So they were trying to maybe capitalize that and use that to ratchet up the horror.
7, the like hillbilly one? Mm-hmm.
Yes. 7 is the one that's in Louisiana.
And 8 had the vampire?
Yeah.
8 does have the vampire. It's in Europe.
In the same place where 4 takes place?
It's supposed to be similar. It's not the exact same place. Yeah.
Spooky.
It is. But I think it's great that, like, this game that, you know, people that kind of define the horror survival genre are so impressed by it that they started to, like they always say, you know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really good.
Yeah. And little inventory management, like, you know, Resident Evil's like inventory management, but with scares. And you know, playing this game, to your point, no reason to fight, just get whatever you can and get out, you know, opposed to, oh, there's a shotgun in the chest over here, I got to go run back and get it. I kind of like.
Yep, and you got to make sure. You got to manage your parts. You got to manage your upgrades. How far are you going to take this gun before you finally sell it and get a new one?
Yep. Yeah. I can only hold 3 herbs. I don't know. I'm really going back to Resident Evil 1 here. But.
Yes. I was like, yep.
Yeah, it is refreshing that all you have to worry about in this game as far as collecting are the batteries.
Yep. And the files. It's one of those games, again, that tells the story through a lot of pickups, like, of course, BioShock and stuff like that.
Which I have always really appreciated, because sometimes you want to go through a game like we talked about in Deadly Premonition 2, like you're giving us way too much that we're not asking for.
Yeah.
Let the people who really want a 100% experience, like, let them go out on their own and get that. Don't force feed it to every player.
Agreed.
So it's nice that a lot of the backstory comes out by stuff that you seek out if you want it.
Yeah. And like it also, you know, of course, if you're just like, I got to get out of there, you can also miss stuff like that. So it definitely also encourages replay by doing mm-hmm. that too. Let's see here. What are you giggling at?
I was just thinking about running around screaming and then like having to come back in the room and get something and just like never stop screaming. Just,
that's how I played this game, was never stopping screaming. So I will say, is this, do you guys have any games that legit scare you to play?
Shadowgate NES. No, it scared the mess out of me. Every time you died and see that skeleton, I used to run out the room. The music scared me. It was terrifying.
I never played it on the NES, but I did play Shadowgate Classic that I think was a redone version of it on the Game Boy Color. And it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Well,
I will say the scariest game that I have played is, we've talked about before, is Condemned.
Yeah.
Okay. Condemned being scary. Gotcha. Mm.
Act two, I know you don't. Baldur's Gate is kind of scary.
Gotcha. Okay, so I will say, like, I think this one is the scariest one for me, and I think it's just because it takes away a mechanic I'm so used to having. Also, like, the monster design is pretty good. The environment is definitely super freaky, even though it's a little bit cliche. It's like, oh, it's in an asylum or a mansion or something like that. But, like, we've been there, we've done that, but they do it pretty well.
You need lots of rooms. They should do one in a mall.
They did. It's called Dead Rising.
No, not zombies.
Oh, God. A horror game in a mall?
Just a spook, like, not zombies. Just anything, other monsters.
Black Friday.
Yeah, they could actually make it scary, title. Like, it sounds like right it there. Is.
I was going to say, is there a horror movie that's maybe like a serial killer's in the mall?
There's,
like,
I mean, Last of Us TV show, the DLC episode. Yeah. Was set in the mall.
Yeah, there you go. That's one.
That's zombies.
That is zombies again. You're right.
Or what about a guy who marks down prices and he's a slasher and he's a serial killer? I guess he wouldn't have access to every store, but hey, listen.
Oh. I'm going to make you half off.
Paradise Killer is the scariest game I ever played.
Boo.
That wasn't scary.
There's skeletons and blood everywhere. That's scary.
So I know this game has got its, like, I don't know if you'd call it its supernatural horror because of the, like, it's a tech thing that causes the people to go crazy and stuff like that. Ooh, Lawnmower Man. That's a scary game. It's on Super Nintendo. And by scary, I mean it's like, I hope I didn't spend money on this because that would have been terrifying. But I think it's, again, it uses, like, these are people. I think Samantha brings up something like, we're so used to not being scared by zombies. Like, having inmates in an asylum is kind of scary. A new twist.
It being a tech thing, that's some Scooby-Doo nonsense.
Old Man Witherspoon
or Resident Evil.
Yeah, I guess it is,
like, everything being
biological
umbrella.
That's why I like Silent Hill more than Resident Evil.
Okay,
it's like, here's your personal hell.
Well, at least in the second game it's your personal hell.
What's it, I don't know what it, that's just how it was explained to me. Isn't that in Downpour 2?
Yeah, and that's a sequel to. Yeah, I mean, once they did that in 2, they pretty much made it, like, I guess 1 and 3 are the only ones that stand out. It's not necessarily, like, the stuff for them. Yeah.
What
but
is,
like,
3 then? I do watch it. I know what happens in 3. It's the amusement park one, but, like,
it's the cult again.
Oh, okay, like in the movie.
Yeah, like in the movie. You're right. Yeah, the first one are, like, the cult is, the first and third one are the cult, the second one is, it's just the masterpiece, and then everything else past that is just trying to recapture 2 with different characters, but failing.
I think The Room is
pretty
creepy.
Miserably. The Room is creepy. It is good, but again, it's just, like, it's one of those things, you're never gonna be as good as Silent Hill 2.
We watched the show Evil. And
okay.
it's like stupid, but the best. Okay. And there's a big Silent Hill hole in their basement, in the wall in their basement, just like the one in his bathroom. And it takes them 4 seasons to address it after we find it. I was just like,
now,
where is this fucking hole? Like, did they know it's there?
Is this the show that's like the Evil Dead TV show?
No, it's just called Evil. It's about like a priest, a psychiatrist, and a scientist.
Walk into a bar.
Like, Yep. Several times, actually. And they work for the church, the Catholic Church, to like deal with possessions. It's really dumb, but it's okay. Funny, and it's we watched the whole thing.
Is that the one where the priest is played by the guy that's Luke Cage?
Yes, Luke Cage.
Okay.
And we're like, Luke Cage, why aren't you just punching these people? You're so strong.
You can't be hurt. Yeah.
Why are you scared? Yeah, it's fun.
Okay.
I recommend it. It's very stupid.
I wish you could punch people in this game. You can't. Okay. So, we don't have a lot to say about this game, but I think we're at least talking about horror games. So, I'm going to throw out some here and see if some people have played it. I'm pretty sure I'm going to say yes to JJ on this one, maybe to Mike, no to Samantha. Splatterhouse.
Love it.
No.
I've played Splatterhouse.
All right, called it.
I played it for the first time whenever it released on the Wii Virtual Console. Oh, yeah.
So that was a TurboGrafx 16 game, right? Originally?
Sure was. Mm. Yep. And an arcade game.
My frame of reference for TurboGrafx is the Strong Bad. Homestar Runner. Mention it.
There were some bangers on that system. Bonk. Splatterhouse was on there. I think R-Type was on there.
Oh, BattleNet's still up. Okay. I heard this chime and I was like, what the fuck was that? Sorry.
Haunting.
So the only thing about Haunting. Splatterhouse, you know, they made it really bloody. But that slide, that weird little, whatever that thing was, how can you get that momentum standing still and slide across the ground and foot sweep somebody or whatever?
It's just the power of the mask. That's the way I
And I don't know enough about that game. Any of y'all beat it? Why was he supposed to be like a bad guy fighting even worse demons? Or what was going on in that game?
Okay, so it's think of it like it's a hero and a girl. He's trying to rescue his girl.
What, someone dated him?
No. He was a normal person. And he got killed, and then he got resurrected as the Splatterhouse guy.
That's his name.
So,
you can choose your name. Josh, JJ, Mike, or Splatterhouse. Oh, go with Splatterhouse.
Splatterhouse guy.
So then you're just going through and killing monsters and fighting bosses.
But he had like a Dr. Scrubs on, right?
Wish he
Jason
would
fight
mask. My boss.
And I was okay. So it's pretty much Altered Beast, but with a hockey mask. Okay.
Yeah.
Rise from your grave. Yeah.
Altered Beast. Oh, the original pack-in for the Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't remember that.
Mm. Yep. Good horror game. Zombies, I guess. I guess it's a horror game, right?
Yes. Yep.
Zombies. Yep. I'm sick of them.
And inspired Animorphs, the book series.
I've read Animorphs. Boy, boy, was I obsessed with Animorphs. Like, I kept them in lunchboxes in our cellar in case a tornado came. I was very worried about having to replace
them. Now this is getting scary. The artwork on them were terrifying. I mean,
bought me a poster because the guy who did the covers, like, selling posters, and I wanted the one where Rachel turns into a cheetah, so he got that for me, but I have to frame it.
God, I remember seeing a story where the dude who did all the Goosebumps artwork has seen a resurrection in his career.
Yeah, twice.
From doing the just doing reprints of his stuff.
Yeah, totally. And I was even
knew that would be an industry.
Well, it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
As always, I mean, that's why they still sell Transformers to people like me all the time.
Animorphs, man, it's so good. And the author is a good person. So I think we should all pivot from Harry Potter to Animorphs.
Oh, man. I'm just looking at the worst covers. That's how I Googled it here. And this kid.
They get better.
This kid turning into an owl is pretty bad.
I was going to say, Samantha, did you watch the TV show?
I did. I loved it. I rewatched an episode recently. It's pretty funny because their alien friend was very funny. Axe.
Yes.
I love the one of Rachel turning into a giant squid. Cassie turns into a horse. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Ah! Oh, that's Cassie turning into an owl. The ultimate, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's one of a girl turning into a starfish.
That's Cassie again, isn't it? She also turns into a... Oh, no, that's Rachel.
What about the turning into the proposal? What is that? What kind of dog is that? Oh, wow.
What? The proposal?
Yeah.
Axe turning into a raccoon. Oh, there's a new, there's a new comic series for it, too. I don't know. Oh, God. The Message, the one with the dolphin. My friend Michelle and I in third grade were like, we saw that one at Deerberg's, the grocery store in the books. And we both really wanted it. There was only one. She hid it behind some other books, and then I bought it.
Wow.
Have you talked to that girl since?
No.
No, I mean, that was obviously the end of
her friendship.
She's
probably in jail now. Just lived a rough life.
No, we moved.
Since.
We moved away. So.
It's like a Cape Fear thing. Like she's working out, and it just says Animorphs like tattooed across her.
Yeah, what would her Animorphs tattoo be? I'd say at an angle on her neck. Just.
Oh yeah. And like Sideshow Bob on her stomach, she's got Die Samantha Die. It's German.
Wait, did the cover art change to holographic stuff at some point?
Of course,
because some
did.
Of the books it doesn't show them.
Maybe reprints. I don't know.
I was gonna say those are probably second or third editions.
Or wait, if they're like, oh, you mean like these ones where it's like a.
It's just one picture of a like a hybrid.
It looks so much worse. Is this real? This looks way worse than them turning into it.
At this point.
Well, I'm sure it'd be cool if it's like that holographic where it changes depending on what angle you're looking
yeah.
at, you know, that they like do.
And it's at this point I would like to remind our listeners, this was an Outlast episode.
No,
and
this is just like when we started talking about your goddamn helicopter show.
Airwolf.
We're
first off... Airwolf is so vastly superior to Animorphs.
No, it's not.
We're not even
good.
We are not
I'll
going to entertain the thought.
I know where
thought.
You live.
No, I think we're just asking the audience to outlast us now.
Everybody would rather hear us talk about Animorphs.
Jeez.
So the one where Rachel's turned into a rat, it's because she's actually going to murder someone.
How? Wow. The plague?
So, no. Jake was their leader. And they like got a new, so it was called The Solution because she's gonna kill David. Who's the guy turning it? Oh, it's a poodle. Yeah, so that's the, is that Marco or David? Whatever. They get a new Animorph, and it turns out, you know, spoilers, he's a betrayer. He's gonna betray them. So they try to figure, but they gave him the power to turn into animals, and now he knows all their secrets, so they have to figure out what to do. And Jake's their leader. He knows Rachel's kind of violent. And, like, is capable of murdering someone. So he sort of, like, manipulates her into doing it, and she kills him.
So are there...
By...
And these are just children?
They're high schoolers. And, but, yeah.
And
they're,
so...
They're fighting an intergalactic war.
So if you kill someone in the shape of a dolphin, are you killing the dolphin or the person?
Well, they're a person in the
Ooh,
shape of a dolphin.
Ooh, that is a
because they have their brain.
Moral quandary.
If they stay in animal... And if they stay in the form for more than an hour, or it might be 2 hours, then they get stuck in it. So that happens to one of them, Tobias. He gets stuck as a red-tailed hawk. And if you... And, like, he, like, freaks out because he's starting to lose his humanity over time. Like, he starts hunting to eat, and, like, the hawk portion of his... The hawk brain starts taking over. And whenever they... get a new animal to turn into, it's like rough at first because the animal instincts are like, ah, and they're like, nope, we're people. But how they killed David, I think, is they turn him into something small and they put him in a container and they just leave him in there. So,
dear Lord.
Until he dies.
It's like a saw, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't remember. Do you have to like... have access to the
yes.
animal DNA
yeah,
to turn
you have to,
into
like,
the animal?
Yeah, you have to, like, acquire. You have to, like, touch them. So Cassie's mom works at the zoo. So Cassie has and
convenient.
Is a vet. So, like, they have access to animals through Cassie, basically.
And so do you change or, like, can you pick which other animal you want to become? Like, oh.
Yeah, they can acquire anyone that they, yeah, they can be anything. Anything they can touch and acquire. So they're, like, constantly getting new animals.
Then
So it's like when Mega Man would touch another robot master and take their power in the Mega Man.
I guess. It's like Rogue, but doesn't kill them or make them weak.
Mm. Yeah. And who's the enemy?
The Yerks. So they're slugs, but they crawl into people's ears and control their brains, and then they just take over planets and use host bodies, basically.
The only way to
defeat
them is turn into animals, right?
Well, I think it's so they can... Well, it's because they got their powers from this alien called an Andalite, which they're like centaur guys-looking things, and they can turn into anything, right? So they're fighting the Yerks, and this dying one gives them the power, and then they only have animals available on Earth.
I thought I heard it all.
But later, when they meet aliens, they turn into aliens.
I thought I heard it all when I heard Paranormal Activity 5 had time travel aspects to it.
Well, this is a children's series about an intergalactic war, and there's a really sad book called The Andalite Chronicles, which is very, very good. And it's great. It's a good series, actually. And it ends really depressing. Jake, the leader, he's been fighting this war for so long, he doesn't know what to do with himself anymore, so he just kind of gets depressed and self-isolates. And one of them dies, and then Tobias decides that he doesn't... Because he gets his transformation powers back, but he can't, like, stay a human. Like, if he stays a human, then he won't be able to transform anymore, so he always goes back to his normal form, which is Hawk. After his love interest dies, he decides to stay a hawk. He just turns into a hawk and throws his humanity away. That's how this ends. It's very depressing.
So in summary, folks, we started out with Outlast.
And Marco has to kill his mom.
We went to Resident Evil. Splatterhouse. Then we went to Altered Beasts and the 5 degrees of separation that got us to Animorphs eventually was originally Outlast.
Boy, what a great idea. What a great episode. We got to talk about Animorphs.
It's just fantastic.
Well, my greatest fear as a child was losing my Animorph books, so here we are.
And we learned you betrayed your friend for Animorphs, and...
I betrayed everyone for Animorphs. We had a book fair, and my dad gave me money. He said to buy something for Jackie, too, so I bought her this 25-cent book, and I got me 2 Animorphs.
The cutthroat world of Animorphs. Here we are, folks.
All right, so what's everybody's greatest fear?
Okay.
I'm really claustrophobic. I can't even put a blanket over my head.
Okay. Mine for real. Is losing all of my friends and relatives and never making any new ones.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I was going to say, the older I've gotten, the more I just genuinely fear death.
Yeah.
Oh,
either, like, myself dying, because I never used to think about it before, but now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, I'm getting closer to it. And I also have this terrible fear of, like, anybody that I care about suddenly.
That could be OCD.
Probably.
Ever since I started on SSRIs, I don't think about that as much because that was one of my obsessions.
Well, another thing that I think has sparked it too is having to work in the news because now I'm constantly surrounded by tragedy.
Yeah.
Whereas I normally would not expose myself to so much. It's not fun.
I believe that. Although I would love to see that barrel.
Oh, Samantha.
That what?
Barrel?
The trash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
I'm actually really... I get really freaked out by the horizon.
But if you ask Jax Johnson, it's been defeated.
Well, it's scary. Freaks me out, especially if it's just like blank.
Gotcha.
What are you talking
about? The horizon, like looking, like the word, the sky meets the land.
Yeah, like a state like Texas won't do you any favors.
What's scary about it, though?
I don't know. It freaks me out. One time I was playing Kingdom Hearts, and I was in the Nightmare Before Christmas world, and I just like looked. I was just looking around the game, and I looked off at the horizon, which was just like some trees silhouetted against a red sky, and it really freaked me out. And then I looked at the darker part of it, where it was like where that curly hill is, and it was just the horizon with the moon behind it, and I was like, that's really fucking scary. And then outside in real life,
because of the vastness,
I don't know, it might be, because then I realized it even scares me in real life. Like, it just freaks me out. I don't know.
Well, she's also got the ocean thing too, so it's probably something
my dream
about
the ocean. Is it's very nice out, and every time in my dream, whoever I'm with, I'm saying, you know, if I was dreaming right now, those waves would be like coming up, and then all of a sudden whales show up and start jumping, and then they make huge tsunamis that come. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just scared of the horizon. It really freaks me the fuck out.
JJ,
oh man, yeah. To Mike's point, the older I get, yeah, just everything, you know, me and death about to give each other a high five soon, you know. So it's one of those.
No, you're immortal.
Yeah, or the cheesy gordita crunch leaving the Taco Bell menu over the last.
Oh my god, I love those so much.
Over the last 10 years, they've been slowly taking away the classics, man. So if that goes,
they gave this beautiful chicken chalupa thing that was so good. It was like fried and had dipping sauce, and they just took it away.
And they did it because of you. They're like, no more, Samantha.
They're ruthless on.
I mean, they
introducing great things and never bringing
she
them
said,
back.
And also, like,
that
removing
anymore,
something
baby.
That had been staples for, like, 15 years, like the double-decker yeah. taco. Mm-mm. Gone.
Or us 80s kids, the Cholito. I think it's great.
It's like they're pulling a Pop-Tart. Like, there was a golden era where Pop-Tart would constantly introduce new flavors that were great. And now, recently, for the past, like, several years, it's been their almost never introducing anything new, and whatever they do is just a pointless why would you make that flavor.
I ate some chocolate pop tarts a few months ago, and I have never felt worse in my life. Like,
crawl to the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I was like, no, these are terrible actually.
All right, so I need to clarify something, and it's something I think maybe will help both Mike and JJ. As someone that had to face his own death earlier this year.
What?
It's one of those things. Yeah. I had a cancer scare.
Oh, shit.
This spring. Yeah. So, as someone that did that, I can tell you I hope you guys never have to deal with it. But once you do something like that, you do really get that point that people talk about. You do really enjoy life a lot more. And that's why my fear of, like, it's not that I'm afraid of people dying, because people die, and it's more like not being able to ever make a new connection with someone. That's what I get afraid of, is I will just so self-isolate, it's only going to be eventually me, and that's super scary. Yeah,
I'm not worried about that. You know what, some lady I used to work with told me that she used to be lie awake at night just being really afraid of dying, and then one day it just like something clicked and she wasn't afraid of it anymore, and then she's totally yep. fine with it. And I really hope for that, because my greatest wish is to not be afraid when I die.
Yeah, I think everybody wants that. I would hope so.
That's my
damn, this got all serious.
We could talk about Animorphs some more.
This episode has gone places, so I'll say that.
That's what happens when none of us play the game.
That's true.
Why play the sequel?
We should really.
I played a little bit, just not enough.
JJ,
to really
you totally get
details.
Full credit. You did play the game.
Sequel.
I get partial credit. Mike gets partial credit.
I get a little bit.
Samantha,
listen,
gets a
Fields
little.
Of Mystria is so good. It's only on PC right now. It is so good. It's got like 90s anime character design. It's so cute. The dialogue is great. I'm going to show you two good screenshots I took. And you'll be like, wow, that's great.
All right, everybody get ready to say, wow, that's great when these screenshots pop up, okay?
Read it, please.
Okay. Menacing, what's so menacing about an otherworldly floating void with no discernible purpose or adherence to natural law? Wow.
That's wow.
Great. And then.
Is that Juniper or Katie?
Juniper. Oh. I was like, guys, I keep forgetting her, who that is. I'm just like, who the fuck is Katie? All right, and here's another great one. That's some good advice.
I mean, there's two things about Katie that should stand out to you that you could never forget.
Her breasts. this is just good advice that I think everybody should adhere to.
I learned that sometimes it's a mistake to meet your heroes, even if that hero is a bird. Like Big Bird?
No, they were... So there's like a thing, there's a mechanic in this game where every Friday night, all the townspeople are in the tavern. And they're each table, so like each spot where they're sitting, you only have to talk to one of them to like trigger like a group cutscene, so you get credit for talking to all of them. And in that front table, they were playing like a D&D type game, and every week the campaign progressed, so that was at the end of it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about that on next episode of Fun Sphere Game Club.
Yeah.
I think we're going to call it here.
I'm going to order Taco Bell.
All right.
God damn it.
Just try to order for us all the things we mentioned that you can no longer get, just in the off chance they brought them back.
I'm going to get two cheesy gordita crunches and a Cantina crispy taco because they put cheese on the outside of it.
Yeah. As long as you get a Baja Blast.
No, I'm not going to get any soda.
Baja Blast is so good.
$40 later.
Yeah. Where's that?
No, because I have Instacart Plus. They have now merged with Uber Eats. And if you have Instacart Plus, then you don't have to pay delivery fees on Uber Eats if you order through Instacart.
I think he was referring to their menu prices.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Taco Bell is
expensive now. They,
just disgustingly expensive.
It used to be the cheapest one.
Yes, I know. By far. I think someone actually, I saw something posted, I can't remember if it was on X or if
yeah, the receipt out of the library book where their taco was like 40 cents.
Yeah, even in high school, I remember that was what I could typically afford after school, was like a Crunchwrap like or something.
The beefy five-layer burrito was once like $1.99 and now it's like $5 bucks or something
I think
that
the
too.
Cheesy gordita crunches are worth $5, but what do I know?
I mean, a quesadilla is like $8.
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, it's a crazy world out there. I hope we outlast it. We'll say goodbye here, folks.
Bye here.
Goodbye.
Folks.
Bye.
Bye.
You did that again.
Twice.
Excellent.
Well, maybe you should stop telling us to say it.
I say it every time.
I don't pay attention.
Bye.
Bye.